evening. This is Lou Caverly. Welcome to the Divided Kingdom, cutting-edge news program with a Christian emphasis. Elizabeth Cuppett Caverly and I have been producing this independent program many of you have come to know and trust since October 2003. We have no corporate sponsors, only a few individuals who contribute to us when they can. We have no commercials whatsoever, so you get lots of valuable information without tedious delays. Any commercials you hear on any network near our program are not connected with us in any way, and certainly do not reflect our views. We welcome new listeners and invite them and all of you to visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com. That's DividedKingdomRadio.com. There you can visit our archives and, by date and topic, choose to listen to past programs.
And I must interrupt you, Lou, there.
Yes.
Of course, the top news item that we are coming to you with tonight on our first broadcast Thursday, January 9th, has to be the Iranian airstrikes on American bases in Iraq, said to be authorized by the Ayatollah himself.
That's exactly right.
And I believe we can skip some of the listening information. People, just quickly, we know, can go to WWCR.com, and they can go to Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, and they can go to KSTARTalkRadio.com, and visit those websites, and you'll hear us. Now,
yes.
Let's get right into this, Lou, that I just said that these airstrikes were said to be authorized by the Ayatollah himself.
Yes, those airstrikes hit both al-Assad and Erbil bases, missing another. There were no American casualties. Pat Buchanan, January 6th at WorldNet Daily, gave us valuable background information on the situation leading up to those strikes.
Yes, Lou, here are some pertinent excerpts of Pat Buchanan's article published January 6, 2020 at WorldNet Daily, WND. If Baghdad wants us out, let's come home. 15 years after the U.S. invaded Iraq to turn Saddam Hussein's dictatorship into a beacon of democracy, Iraq's parliament, amid shouts of death to America, voted to expel all U.S. troops from the country. Though non-binding, the expulsion vote came after mobs trashed the U.S. embassy in an assault that recalled Tehran 1979. What provoked Iraq's parliament into demanding the ouster of all U.S. troops? First, the 5 December U.S. strikes on Iraq's popular mobilization forces in retaliation for a dozen Kataib Hezbollah rocket attacks on U.S. bases, which killed a contractor and wounded 4 U.S. soldiers. Then came President Donald Trump's decision to launch a drone strike and kill Iranian General Qassem Soleimani at Baghdad International Airport. Killed in the same strike was the Shiite Iraqi leader of Kataib Hezbollah. During his return flight to Washington Sunday, Trump warned Iraq, "Follow through on your demand that all U.S. troops get out, and we will insist that Baghdad repay the money we just spent on a major airbase." Moreover, said Trump, if Iraqis expel U.S. troops, then we will impose upon them sanctions like they've never seen before, ever. It'll make Iranian sanctions look somewhat tame. Where do we stand now in Iraq? Though Sunnis and Kurds abstain, the Iraqi parliament has voted to expel all our troops. The State Department has urged U.S. civilians to flee Iraq. 82nd Airborne units have moved into the region to protect the U.S. Embassy. U.S. troops fighting ISIS alongside Iraqi troops have separated themselves and stood down. In Iraq, the war on terrorism is on hold. Tehran wants to avoid a war with the United States, but to direct the passions of the moment toward forcing an expulsion of the Americans from the Middle East, beginning with their ouster from Iraq. Thus, Tehran has signaled that its retaliation, its revenge for the death of Soleimani, a military man, will be proportionate. Tehran is telegraphing an attack on the U.S. military. Pat Buchanan says, Iran does not want war with the United States, and Trump wants no war with Iran. We want to really emphasize that meme. Iran does not want war with the United States, and Trump wants no war with Iran. Killing Soleimani was just, but what is just is not always wise. Those are the words of longtime political analyst Pat Buchanan. Killing Soleimani was just, but what is just is not always wise. Yet his killing restores Trump's credibility as a Jacksonian who avoids wars, but who, wounded, will stab the enemy who cut him.
Yes, Pat Buchanan also states this. Trump has a red line. It is not shooting at American drones, but shooting at American soldiers, the drawing of American blood. The message the rulers of Iran should have received? If they retaliate for Soleimani's by killing American soldiers, diplomats, or civilians, using either Iranian troops or proxy militias, Trump will retaliate against Iran itself. Otherwise, come home America, George McGovern's slogan from the 1972 presidential campaign, has rarely seen more relevant.
And there have been strong worries expressed by others, such as retired Lieutenant Colonel Douglas McGregor, whether President Trump has become captive of the Bush policy. Yet Dinesh D'Souza said the president's decision was critical. And Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin emphasized that Iraq seemingly did not want an escalating war with the U.S. because it could have used a much greater capability that it definitely has. This suggested that one large base may have been missed intentionally as a de-escalation tool. Yet, on Wednesday, January 8th, InfoWars reported that anti-missile systems worked. They cut the missiles, but some fragments got through, and they did not get to the area of the barracks. If they had gotten through to that part of the base, we would have been thrust into World War III. Lieutenant General Boykin said this question: have we restored deterrence? I think this is very crucial. Have we allowed everyone to keep their equilibrium, you see, and save face? Fox News flashed this bulletin on the bottom of their screen that Iraq was saying, do not attack us. I think that message was very clear, Lou. And let us reiterate Pat Buchanan's words that Iran does not want war with the United States, and Trump wants no war with Iran. And we add, let us Christian Americans keep praying fervently. All you listeners out there, your prayers are very valuable. And let us be contrite as we pray these prayers. Amidst the evil around us, for our God has given us President Trump, and we pray that God will keep him steady in prayer, wisdom, and discretion to know when to be bold and when to be silent.
Well, Elizabeth, the American people elected Trump because he promised to end boots on the ground, morphing into these permanent, senseless, unwinnable wars. We must hold him to it. After all, he is the commander in chief. He alone can give the orders, as he says, quote, to stop war or start it. It's his to decide.
Yes, no Americans were harmed. Oh, we can really thank God for that. And President Trump spoke on Wednesday, January 8th, and he said, as long as I am president, Iran will not have nuclear weapons. And Iran appears to be standing down, and we think that is really, really a wonderful thing. And perhaps Lieutenant Colonel Douglas McGregor has the final word on the Iran strikes. This means we're about to find out whether we've gotten the president we voted for. If there's a wider war, it will destroy his presidency. And, of course, I'm looking now at a transcript of President Trump's speech on Wednesday, January 8th. And he made these encouraging words come across. We must also make a deal that allows Iran to thrive and prosper and take advantage of its enormous untapped potential. Iran can be a great country. Peace and stability cannot prevail in the Middle East as long as Iran continues to foment violence, unrest, hatred, and war. The civilized world must send a clear and unified message to the Iranian regime. Your campaign of terror, murder, mayhem will not be tolerated any longer. It will not be allowed to go forward. And of course, in that speech, President Trump said that he was going to ask NATO to become more involved in this Middle East process. And he talked about the desire to not be at odds with Iran. He said, finally, to the people and leaders of Iran, we want you to have a future and a great future, one that you deserve, one of prosperity at home, in harmony with the nations of the world. The United States is ready to embrace peace with all who seek it. I want to thank you, and God bless America. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. I think that history is going to look back on this president who was so reviled and misjudged, just as, remember in the Bible, listeners, how I believe the people in Jesus' hometown were going to throw him over a cliff. Isn't that right, Lou?
That's exactly right.
So you see, evil hates good. And we really do ask for your prayers. And just today, we had a great encouragement here at home as we were readying ourselves to come back on the air with a new program. I heard the Eroica, our theme song, and then Lou happened to bring in the mail, and there were two wonderful contributions. We want to thank Virgil and Sandra and Elijah, and they all had words of encouragement, scripture from the Bible, to encourage us to continue as watchmen. We love America, and we love God, and one of these scriptures spoke to us personally, and it said we were not to be sitting where the people were scorning others. I think this is so important for all of us, that we have a kind of humility that is exemplified by our Lord Jesus Christ, and we watch ourselves. We don't become condescending. We don't become proud and arrogant, because we are sinners. But we know that this was a turning point, and whatever it was, if it was just divine providence that these missiles were taken out by the systems into fragments and that it missed the barracks, that is really wonderful. And that doesn't diminish if the Iranians had definitely tried to miss the base. Either way, God was in control, and we should give great thanks. And now we're going to move on, Lou.
Yes, we just want to thank all the listeners for encouraging us with the letters, as Elizabeth has just said. If you'd like to write to us, you can reach us by writing Lou, L-O-U, carefully, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, at Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, just like in the Bible, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. That's Lou Carverly, Post Office Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609.
And I'd like to interject, Lou, that the help we got today was in the form of two money orders. So that seems to be a convenient way that people can contribute to us. And we don't take personal checks, of course. As Lou may have mentioned there, checks have to be written to WWCR, but a little cash or money orders, it's a great help and a great blessing to us, because Lou had to spend over $1,100 getting a dental crown. We really thought it was important to save that tooth, because we really want to be as healthy as we can be. We're not 25 years old anymore, as many of you know, and when we heard our programs that were repeats from the year 2011, we realized we were in a great traumatic situation that year. We thought we were going to sell our home in Maryland and move to Western Pennsylvania, and our lives were just in a great flux. But God decided it would be best for us to live in Maryland and stay here to do our radio work, at least for this time. And when we heard these programs, I hope that if you did not hear the Pockets Christmas program, you will go to our archives at DividedKingdomRadio.com, and you will hear that Christmas program, December 26th, you would find it. There were three great miracles, and just very quickly, we want to recap in the afterglow of this seemingly miraculous thing that happened with that base, where God gave us a reprieve. No World War III. It's just wonderful. No raging conflict in the Middle East. So these three stories. First of all, there was the story of a woman bus driver, school bus driver, in Virginia. And I believe this happened in the 1990s. And her little four-year-old son came wandering over to the bus and looked in at her. And then, before anybody could do anything else, somehow a car hit him. And it was really dreadful. And she went out to him in the street, and God told her right away, start praying for him. And, of course, they called for the ambulance and everything else. And I believe she was told then to get him on a prayer chain. Well, eventually, he was in the hospital, and it seemed to be very, very bad. But all this prayer started. And the doctor couldn't believe the change in the x-rays and everything. And the doctor advised her, when she brought him home, that they were to put him on the sofa where he could feel relaxed and he could talk about what had happened. That would help him if things were too traumatic. And so she began to ask him what he remembered. And he said he saw this car, this man from the car that had hit him, sitting on the curb crying. And there was no way he could have seen this. There was no way. And then he said that an angel lifted him and took him to Jesus and set him on Jesus' lap. And he said Jesus was bright like a light bulb. Well, that boy recovered, and at the time we taped that program in 2011, I think maybe he could have been older than a teenager, but he also was doing volunteer EMT work because of his experience. And then the second story involved a woman who, and now Lou, you'll have to help me, had she miscarried, or had she had a child born dead once before?
I think it was a miscarriage.
A miscarriage. And so then she thought she just could never go through this again. We're not entirely sure of the details on that. If you go to DividedKingdomRadio.com and you listen to December 26th, you can hear that fully. But at any rate, she again had a child, but this time it was born dead. And she thought, how could she go through this? And she just kept praying and praying, and others prayed. And the miracle is that after 30 minutes, it had never taken a breath of life, had it, Lou?
No, none.
No, it began to live. And the doctors had never heard of anything like this. It was just remarkable. And then the third story involved a man named Clarence, and his daughter told this story that when she was a child, on Saturdays, he would take her to the movies. She really looked forward to the movies. And he was a man who was well-liked in his community. He had a good sense of humor, and he was kind to people. But when he finished the movie with her, he would then go to the bar, and he would drink till he was intoxicated. And then she said she feared, because the truck would jolt from side to side on the road, and then there was an old house at the end of town where he would stop. And he would go in with a woman, and she would hear these noises and giggles and so forth, and she would just be cowering in the truck with her eyes shut. Then he would finally come out. Then they would go home, and she said her mother would be angry and crying and so forth. It would be like that. Then the next day on Sunday, the mother and the children would go to church. He would stand at the door and say, now, don't you go down there a-praying for me. But they always did. And people in the town prayed for him. They kept praying and praying for him. So finally, there came a hot summer day in which they were starting out to the movies on this Saturday, and there was a stranger walking along, And it was a day that was just too hot for anybody alive to be walking. And so they asked him to get in to the truck, and he got in. And, of course, he began to talk to Clarence. And the little girl was in the back seat. And so she heard them sort of talking, and then she realized her father was getting a little bit nervous about something. She heard the tone of voice change. And then the man began to talk a little bit more about how people sometimes mean well, but they get off on a wrong path. And not too long after that, her father let the man out, and he turned. And he said, Clarence, if you make these changes, I'll be seeing you in a few years. And you know how, listeners, did he know the man's name, Clarence? And then he added something very interesting. He said, don't start your truck for 10 minutes. Well, as he was out of sight, Clarence tried to start the truck. It wouldn't start. He tried again and again. It wouldn't start. 10 minutes went by. The truck started, and they went off. And pretty soon they came to this bend in the road, and a farmer rushed out to tell him that a horrible accident had occurred. An eight-wheeler had come around the bend and struck someone. Now, these are things that can increase our faith. You see, we need not buckle at this time to the new world order, because Jesus Christ has all the power. Jesus Christ yesterday, today, and forever. So we really hope you will visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and tell others about it. Now, Lou, let's pick up where we were, because I think that we're going to be getting into some things for new listeners. Is it time for me to talk about that, or do you have a little bit more there about some of these hidden evils?
I think in the interest of time, maybe this is a good time for you to begin.
Well, what do you have? Do you have any? You don't have any definite things there, except that we're talking about the population culling plan. Do you have anything like that in yours? If you can skip to that part.
Let me see.
With the eugenicists?
I think I'll let you go ahead.
Don't you have something there about Margaret Sanger? Skip
yes.
Down. Yes, why don't you give us that part, because then I'll complement it with what I have, too.
All right. And we had new listeners. Are you jolted out of your complacent seats yet? Are you realizing that they have only 500 million people now?
I have to tell that first.
That's right.
I thought you had a little intro on.
Well,
that.
I have a short intro.
Yes.
Read that.
Okay.
Okay, tonight's is the next in a series of what we like to call emergency broadcast.
Yes, and you know what? That's important. And if we seem a little disorganized, so much happened in the last 24 to 48 hours, and we listened to so many people, so many analysts, and it was hard to assemble all of these little notes and everything we were going to say and get it all juxtaposed together. So, yes, pick up that about the emergency broadcast.
That's right, yes. This is information you will not hear in the mainstream media. Information withheld from the masses by our elite rulers who wish to control us and even eliminate some of us and some of our population when numbers get too high. You are the sheep who need to be warned by watchmen like us and some faithful other Christian conservatives.
Yes, and again, this is Elizabeth Tuppett Caverly, and my husband and colleague on the radio has really spelled it out right. If you're still staring in wide-eyed disbelief, we can begin to give you more documentation of the existence of Satan's evil hidden death plan, the population culling plan, the population reduction plan, and just a couple of points to document. Dorothy and Toto are far from Kansas. Number one, the Georgia Guidestones, a massive stone monolith, sometimes called the American Stonehenge, was built by a mysterious anonymous source. Some say Ted Turner was involved. Some blame the Rosicrucian Secret Society because of the initials found there on it, RC. Anyway, this huge monument holds what many call the New World Order Ten Commandments, the new Ten Commandments of the New World Order. And there are 10 goals on it of this satanic hoped for New World Order. One of the goals, it may be number 5, Lou, listed on the Georgia Guidestones, states the purpose of, quote, keeping the Earth's population in balance at 500 million. And before we think about that, we have to add to this the fraudulent agenda of carbon taxes and the carbon footprint. There is no real scientific justification for all these things, all these people like poor little Greta Thunberg being used as a robot, perhaps an autistic person, or veering near it, a teenager who doesn't even know what life is, being used by these forces. They agreed way back in the 1970s that they would use the environment as a source of getting control. Control over your life, control over mine. So that's why we have these ridiculous things like Bloomberg, cutting down the big drink size, getting rid of others, getting rid of meat. We're seeing this push into magazines now. Every cooking magazine I pick up, it's meat substitutes. They're plants. They're vegetables. People shouldn't be eating meat. When I've read studies that show that vegetarians, as they age, their brain size shrinks compared to meat eaters. That's something to think about, too, isn't it? So now, it has been reported that about a decade ago, an elite group of billionaires, including Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner, met, and I think Bill Gates, met to discuss population reduction. The works of Jacques Cousteau, you know, that wonderful marine biologist, explorer, whatever he was, that so many people idolize and PBS extolled. Well, we can document his words. They were found in the October 1991 issue of the UNESCO Courier. And he was commenting that so many thousand more people a day needed to die. Yes, are you shocked? Yes, the UN is a big part of this coming global order with the UNESCO Courier. We remember the Calhoun Reader. Things were said in that against nationalism and against the family. So many of these directives are secretly being put out by the UN, and George Soros has a hand in all of this, trying to destroy the family and trying to destroy Christian American strength, I'm sure. And so this is an Orwellian nightmare of control should this new world order get in. We also presented some time back how the successor to Derry Brownfield, her radio program, interviewed a person who was telling about these NGOs coming and shutting down people who have little zoos and people who have animals, and things are being taken to some kind of a one world sanctuary. We know about our national parks, too, that many of them are World Heritage Sites, and they're under the UN control more and more. It may have been on 60 Minutes on TV, on a documentary. Anyway, some years back, the polio vaccine pioneer Salk stated, yes, we knew there were cancer viruses in it. Folks, that would be SV40, probably a monkey-derived virus. He laughed then and remarked, there are too many people.
New listeners, are you jilted out of your complacent seats yet? Are you realizing that to have only 500 million people on Earth, billions, perhaps more than 5 billion people, must be made to evaporate? For over a century, this plan has been in motion by so-called eugenicists and eugenicist groups like Margaret Sanger's Planned Parenthood, a group led by Bill Gates Sr. Cold Spring Harbor is alleged to have produced weaponized organisms for population culling. Lyme, Connecticut, where the first Lyme disease occurred, is right across Long Island Sound from that very place. What is the true origin of chronic wasting disease, now so prevalent in the deer of southwestern Pennsylvania? And now InfoWars has recently reported the FDA is okaying the development of a live Ebola vaccine for the United States.
Yes, and the CDC is involved, too. And I interrupted your key words. Do those key words, a live
Ebola vaccine. This is astounding and goes light years beyond our present concerns of the great harm that existing vaccines, such as the flu shot, the MMR vaccine, and Gardasil, cause. Here's the full story on the Ebola. And this is from Natural News, written by Mike Adams. The title says, Staged Ebola Pandemic Being Prepped for America.
Now, if this isn't an emergency broadcast right here, you'd better tell all of your friends and family about this. And you'd better go to that website frequently, naturalnews.com. Pick it up, Lou.
Yes, again, the title is Stage Ebola Pandemic Being Prepped for America, followed by mandatory Ebola vaccines using live viral strains.
And there's the Rahm Emanuel serum that we never let a good crisis go to waste.
Exactly.
We use the victims, you see, to get our control coming in.
This is by Mike Adams, dated Saturday, January the 4th, 2020. An effort is underway right now to harvest Ebola-infected subjects from African nations, then transport them to the U.S. border and have them cross into the United States as, quote, human weapons, unquote, who will unleash Ebola on U.S. soil. This is part of the globalist effort to bring down the United States of America and cause chaos before the 2020 elections, while subjecting all Americans to, quote, medical martial law, unquote, that demands mandatory Ebola vaccines, which just happen to contain live viruses to further spread the outbreak. This effort is fully funded by both UN-linked organizations who have been running depopulation vaccine experiments on human subjects in Kenya, as well as the criminal CDC, which functions as nothing more than a malicious propaganda front for the vaccine industry. As the independent media has been exhaustively covering, migrants from Ebola-infected African nations are being deliberately deposited in major U.S. cities, including Austin, Texas, where InfoWars reporters have conducted numerous interviews to discover shocking details about Ebola risk in Texas. Just last week, a 41-year-old woman from the Democratic Republic of the Congo illegally crossed the border while carrying Ebola. She was apprehended by U.S. Border Patrol, then proceeded to vomit, and eventually died from what was labeled acute kidney failure. That's in quotes. The most common organ failure among those infected with Ebola. The DRC, that's the Democratic Republic of the Congo, is currently experiencing one of the largest Ebola outbreaks in history. Ebola can be carried by individuals who aren't yet killed by it, as this InfoWar article reports. And that was a link that you can go to if you check out this very article on naturalnews.com. CBP said the Congolese woman was vomiting and, quote, suffering from abdominal pain and renal replacement therapy. I guess that should be really another clause here. Renal replacement therapy is therapy that replaces the normal blood filtering function of the kidneys. According to Reuters News Service, quote, people who survive Ebola virus infection face a dramatically higher risk of dying, probably from severe kidney damage, within a year of leaving the hospital, unquote. So it's possible the Congolese woman's kidneys damage came as a result of an Ebola infection. She was ultimately cured of, but just 2 weeks ago, the first documented relapse of an Ebola patient was recorded. Again, Reuters reported, in quotes, in early December, Congolese health authorities reported that a survivor in Mabalako, North Kivu province, had fallen ill with the virus again. Preliminary tests have since classified it as a relapse, the World Health Organization said in a weekly report, unquote. What's the purpose of this outbreak? To demand all Americans be injected with a deadly Ebola vaccine containing live Ebola viruses. It's all part of a coordinated CDC, FDA, PSYOP, false flag operation that's being ignited by sending quote-unquote human weapons into the United States to unleash Ebola and cause a pandemic. Just remember that the CDC owns the patent on all Ebola vaccines. Its patent number, well, they give the number. I won't bother you to read the long, long number. But it was awarded in 2010. And you can view it on this website, again, naturalnews.com. And Natural News reported that in 2014. Both the CDC and the National Institutes of Health are among the key players in promoting the Ebola vaccine. While the CDC owns the patent on Ebola itself, the NIH owns the patent on Ebola vaccines. As it turns out, the NIH has collaborated with the Vaccine Research Center, a division of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, and Crucell, another vaccine developer, to commercialize an Ebola vaccine in the very near future. This agreement dates back more than a decade, with Crucell entering Phase 1 clinical trials for said vaccine in 2006. Several years later, the NIH and NIAID awarded Crucell with further funding to advance the development of a multivalent filovirus vaccine to treat not only Ebola, but other similar viral infections that cause severe hemorrhagic fever in both humans and non-human primates. From another Natural News story published in 2014, patent applicants are clearly described on the patent as including the government of the United States of America as represented by the Secretary, Department of Human Health, that is Health and Human Services, Center for Disease Control. The patent summary says, quote, the invention provides the isolated human Ebola, that is H. Ebola, viruses, denoted as Bundibugyo, EBO, capital B-U-N, deposited with the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Atlanta, Georgia, United States of America, on November 26, 2007, and accorded an accession number 200706291, unquote. The summary of the invention section of the patent document also clearly claims that the U.S. government is claiming, quote-unquote, ownership over all Ebola viruses that share as little as 70% similarity with the Ebola it invented. And then Mike Adams lists some very specific scientific details of this, too technical for us to read at this time.
And then Mike adds, if you are stricken with Ebola, the U.S. government pardon me, can claim ownership over the viruses inside your body as justification to quarantine you or end your life for medical experiments. Note that since the CDC now owns all Ebola viral strains, according to the U.S. Patent Office, if you are stricken with Ebola and begin to replicate the Ebola genetic code in your own cells, you are now a criminal who is violating the CDC's, quote, intellectual property, end of quote. You can then be arrested, i.e., that is, quarantined, or even kidnapped and killed for medical experiments involving the CDC, Ebola, and vaccines. Your entire body is now, quote, owned by the CDC, since Ebola genetic code has replicated throughout your body and organs. If you don't believe the U.S. government could be so evil to carry out such mad experiments on Americans, then you don't know the history of government-run medical experiments on Americans. It goes way beyond Tuskegee and the Guatemalan prisoner experiments that were funded by the NIH and admitted by Barack Obama. And we have to interject, the Tuskegee experiments, I believe, were to give the black men syphilis, and they never knew it. It's a full history. Back to Mike Adams. It's a full history of illegal, inhumane medical experiments, mostly conducted on blacks, prisoners, and soldiers, but sometimes also conducted on the general public. Read the full timeline here. Or see this short list of the 13 most heinous experiments carried out on humans by the U.S. government. Again, this is from www.naturalnews.com. The development of the Ebola vaccine has been scripted and fast-tracked to prepare America for a massive Ebola false flag operation that will involve real infections, but a false narrative. 2020 looks to be the year the CDC, a criminal organization that causes pandemics to promote vaccine profits, is going to unleash the most horrific and dangerous medical false flag in the history of our world. The number of deaths will likely dwarf the 6 billion Jews killed by the Nazis in World War II, according to historians. Now a new terror has been unleashed upon the world that's even more dangerous than Cyclone B, weaponized Ebola. From the CDC and the pharmaceutical cartels that hope to reap a windfall of profits while human beings suffer and die. And we might interject here, Lou, that this seems so dramatic, so melodramatic, so fantastically exaggerated, but think about the Holocaust itself. Those Jews that you often talk about who were near Munich, mentioned in William L. Shirer's book, was it The Nightmare Years?
That's right.
And they thought they were safe, they were riding high because they were so affluent. But sometimes we don't know what lies ahead, and this is going to be a big item for you listeners to pray against, for God to foil this evil, evil, horrendous plan. Mike goes on now with the next headline. All the natural solutions against Ebola have been censored by the evil tech giants and a complicit media. There are, of course, many natural medicines and herbal solutions that can defeat Ebola, but they have all been systematically censored by the tech giants acting in concert with the CDC, all as a scheme to force Americans to receive the weaponized Ebola vaccines rather than turn to natural remedies that don't spread the pandemic like vaccines do. Google, in other words, is part of this conspiracy against humanity, which will coalesce into the deaths of countless innocent Americans as the CDC, the mainstream media, and the tech giants turn the entire nation into a mad science medical experiment protected by big tech's disinfo psyops and censorship schemes. In other words, what big tech, the mass media, and the CDC are about to do will go down in history as the more heinous crime that has ever been committed against humanity. He says, even dwarfing the Holocaust. We might not agree with that. We don't know. It hasn't happened. And by heaven, we pray that it will not happen. By the mercy of Jesus Christ, our Savior, if we repent. Now, Mike says the goal of it all, it's not just about causing chaos and collapse in America as a way to defeat President Trump and the populist uprising. It's also about depopulation. Oh, you guessed it, listeners, didn't you? Even the new ones, you're starting to learn. You ought to look for Alex Jones's fine documentary from the past, Endgame. Tells a lot about this. So Mike says it's about depopulation and the globalist plan to drastically reduce the number of humans living on planet Earth, an outcome they have convinced themselves is necessary to save the planet from, quote, climate change, which is a total hoax fabricated by the very same people who are running the genocidal depopulation schemes. By the way, read vaccines.news to stay informed. Again, that's vaccines.news to stay informed, and watch highly censored videos about vaccines and Ebola at brighteon.com, and that's spelled capital BRIGHTEON.com. And now, without even missing a beat, we must move quickly to his other warning on 5G. Lou?
And this is also from Natural News, entitled Brighteon Films Posts New 5G Mini Documentary That Warns Humanity About the Imminent Danger of 5G cell towers. Again by Mike Adams, dated January the 3rd, 2020. Part of the benefit of building and owning an independent video platform is that we can post important videos for humanity that would be immediately banned on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, or Google. That's because the tech giants are corrupt, anti-human, criminal organizations that censor videos which oppose their own corrupt financial interests. And every tech giant in America wants 5G to be everywhere, since it allows them all to conduct real-time surveillance on the entire population by surreptitiously streaming mobile device audio and video through 5G data streams. The entire point of 5G, flatly stated, is is to create the world's most invasive surveillance network that also doubles as an electromagnetic weapons platform that can target specific individuals with focus beams of cancer-causing radiation. The dirty truth about 5G is fully exposed in a stunning new mini-documentary released by Brighteon Films, titled 5G Next Gen Health Dangers. The 22-minute video is available, and it gives you a website. You can find that if you'd like to see that. All you have to do is go to naturalnews.com, and it's near the top if you go in the next few days. That's a good website. It has many, many good articles. Continuing on now with Mike Adams' write-up, this mini-documentary exposes the health dangers of 5G and why this dangerous technology is a new source of, quote, electromagnetic pollution, unquote, that endangers human lives. The tech industry is fully aware of these dangers, but pushed 5G anyway, censoring critics of the technology and trying to silence the science that exposes the public health risks associated with this extreme technology. Unlike 4G and previous technologies, 5G focuses a tight beam of cancer-causing energy at your mobile device, which is usually held right next to your head. The shorter wavelengths used by 5G result in higher energies and higher health risks for all those who are exposed to the beams. More importantly, just walking around a city where 5G is active means your body can pass through a 5G energy beam that's being used by someone else. With telecom companies now installing 5G towers every few hundred meters, entire cities are being blanketed with these surveillance-capable beam weapon systems that are devastating human health and causing widespread brain cancer. The evidence of public harm stemming from 5G exposure is so great that even the mainstream science publication Scientific American has openly warned that 5G could devastate public health. Research published in the peer-reviewed journal Environmental Research shows that 5G exposure causes infertility, cellular DNA damage, spontaneous abortions, and even psychiatric effects in humans. Personality changes. 5G exposure also causes the body to generate toxic chemicals in the blood due to an effect stemming from, quote, voltage-gated calcium channels, unquote, or VGCC for short. In this, the electromagnetic energy found in 5G beams causes the body to generate toxic substances, peroxynitrites, I hope I'm pronouncing that well, peroxynitrites, that poison the brain and the entire nervous system. As stated in the study linked above, produced by elevated levels of peroxynitrite, and the free radical breakdown products of peroxynitrite and a CO2 addict. Four studies of EMF exposure cited in Paul, that no doubt is an author, in 2013, show that oxidative stress following exposure was associated with major elevation of 3-nitrotyrosine, a marker of peroxynitrite. Thus, confirming this interpretation. Two other studies each found 3-nitrotyrosine elevation following 35 gigahertz, and that, of course, is the frequency, 35 gigahertz exposures. That same study also warns of the neuropsychiatric effects of 5G exposure. Of all cells in the body, the neurons have the highest densities of VGCCs, due in part to the VGCC role and calcium ion role in the release of every neurotransmitter in the nervous system. Calcium signaling regulates synaptic structure and function in 5 different ways, each likely to be involved here. Oxidative stress and apoptosis are both thought to have important roles. Lowered sleep and increased fatigue are likely to involve lowered nocturnal melatonin and increased nocturnal norepinephrine. Watch and see the mini-documentary above. The health of humanity is at stake. And the author Mike Adams also says there are other good videos available at Brighteon.com. And once again, if you want to see that video, simply go to naturalnews.com. That's easy to remember. Naturalnews.com.
And with all the sinister plans around us, not all of them are going to materialize. If God's people will hear his voice and repent. But we're looking right now at the church door. Well, we're going to try to give you some updates, and what we don't get done this week, next week we'll be continuing a look specifically at what's going on in the falling away, the apostasy of our time, the takeover of biblical principles that Christian America espoused by moral relativism and the legitimization of things like abortion and same-sex marriage. Lou, I think you have an important article from the United Methodist Church.
That's right. That's right. This is by Bree Stimson, published January the 4th, 2020. The headline reads, United Methodist Church announces proposal to split over LGBTQ rights. And this was from Fox News. Leaders from the United Methodist Church reportedly announced a tentative plan Friday to split the church over differences on same-sex marriage and the inclusion of gay clergy. The new conservative traditional Methodist denomination wouldn't allow gay marriage or gay clergy members, the New York Times reported. The proposal was first signed in December after the, quote, fundamental differences, unquote, within the church became irreconcilable, said Methodist Bishop Karen Oliveto, the denomination's first openly gay bishop, quote, I'm actually really sad that we couldn't build a bridge that could have provided a witness to the world of what unity amid diversity and disagreement could look like, unquote. In 2017, the Judicial Council, the church's highest court, declared Oliveto's consecration was, quote, incompatible with church law, unquote. She was, however, allowed to remain as the resident bishop of the Mountain Sky Conference, which covers churches in Colorado, Montana, Utah, Wyoming, and part of Idaho. There are roughly 13 million church members around the world, and about half of them are in the United States, according to The Times. In this April 19th, 2019 file photo, and it shows a photo of a church with a flag in front of it, a gay pride rainbow flag flies alongside the U.S. flag in front of the Asbury United Methodist Church in Prairie Village, Kansas. A new Associated Press NORC Center for Public Affairs research poll shows age, educational level, and religious affiliation matter greatly when it comes to Americans' opinions on a prospective clergy member's sexual orientation, gender, marital status, or views on issues such as same-sex marriage or abortion. The division, which has been brewing for years, came to an impasse last May when delegates in St. Louis voted 438 to 384 to ban gay marriage and the inclusion of gay clergy. A majority of U.S.-based churches opposed the traditional plan, but were outvoted by conservatives in the U.S., Africa, and the Philippines. Soon after, 16 church representatives determined breaking up the church was, quote, the best means to resolve our differences, allowing each part of the church to remain true to its theological understanding, unquote, Bishop Cynthia Fierro Harvey of Louisiana said, according to the New York Times. And in New York, Bishop Thomas Bickerton said, quote, there is a degree of heartbreak within me because I never thought we would reach this point. However, we are at this point. The differences are irreconcilable. This is inevitable, unquote. Texas Bishop Scott J. Jones said the proposal has not yet been adopted. He said, quote, the protocol itself says it was developed in service to the General Conference delegates who will decide on its adoption or amendment. Other plans may well be considered as alternatives. Significant questions remain to be answered about the protocol's implementation. The Judicial Council will need to rule on its constitutionality. And I believe that that is the conclusion of the article. Let me just flip it over. Yes, I believe that's all.
And we have so many churches falling into apostasy, and God works in unusual ways, I think, sometimes. We know that the Armenian people were in a massacre, what, over a century ago?
Just about a century ago, I believe.
And the Kardashian family's forebears escaped that. They came. And I think there was a vision connected with this, that people were told, Christians, to leave. And so we now have the Kardashians. Here's a headline from Friday Church News Notes, December 20th. Kim Kardashian resolves to dress more modestly. Kim Kardashian, one of the queens of the me-centered pop culture, says her New Year's resolutions include dressing more modestly, following on the heels of her rapper husband Kanye West's professed Christian conversion earlier this year. Kim journeyed to her homeland of Armenia to be baptized in an Orthodox church. A few weeks ago, Kanye asked Kim to dress more modestly, and though she wasn't in agreement at the time, now she says, I don't know if it's the fact that my husband has voiced that sometimes too sexy is just overkill, and he's not comfortable with that, but I've kind of had this awakening myself. I realized I could not even scroll through Instagram in front of my kids without full nudity coming up on my feed pretty much all of the time. And David Cloud comments, this is a good decision as far as it might go, and he thinks it's more along the lines of a midlife moral adjustment than biblical repentance. But, you know, we're told not to judge. And we can see that life is a progression. And people who are in their 20s sometimes have to learn a lot. I remember when I was actually in my 30s, this very strongly biblical-oriented person, a friend of mine, and with my Mary Kay director, I was trying to sell cosmetics, came in and saw all my books in a room on palmistry, astrology, all numerology, and she said, oh, Elizabeth, you need to get rid of all these books. They're going to bring something bad into your life. God doesn't want this, and I poo-pooed it. But I lived to learn that she was absolutely right. God is a jealous God. He won't permit us to straddle the fence, or we are going to fall into the abyss. But it's been a great pleasure to come to you tonight on The Divided Kingdom. Visit our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, and pray for our president, pray for our country, and pray for our dear listener, Fred, who has been in congestive heart failure. He needs much prayer for healing. Thank you. Good night.